You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
This is the Real Ass Podcast. Here's your host, Luis J. Gomez.
What's going on, Gomites, Real Ass fans, Baby Rattlesnakes, Luis J. Gomez, Puerto Rican Rattlesnake, Real Ass Dude, Howard Stern of MMA Radio here, coming at you with another amazing episode of the greatest podcast on the planet Earth. The Real Ass Podcast. I almost believed myself when I said that. It was good. Scoble's looking at me like, the greatest podcast on the planet Earth. Really?
I mean, you're just bragging about the greatest podcast you're on.
Well, no, I'm on only amazing podcasts. Now, look, obviously everyone knows that we're here at Stand Up New York, Stand Up New York Labs, which is an amazing podcasting network. But Luis J. Gomez himself is kind of a podcasting network in his own right.
You kind of are. Yeah. You have enough podcasts to make it a network.
I really could make, and it's a pretty high quality podcast network, if I do say so myself. If you think about every podcast that I'm on, I reach out to YKWD, Legion of Skanks, fucking Real Ass Podcast, Hammer Fisting Podcast. I am basically podcast gold. Thank you.
I can't take him serious at times.
So listen, today we got a great show planned. I'm going to get into what happened yesterday because we did record another episode. This is the second time I'm recording this week.
I just think you guys were mad I wasn't here.
That's what happened. We really wanted to get you in, Scopo.
Maybe you should do that at the end so you don't lose it, get all angry. It'll be like the Groundhog Day episode of podcast. Where
it just happens over and over again.
It just goes and repeat. You just keep living that moment.
John, can you bring that episode in here? Can I pull up some audio? Because I'm going to pick random clips from it. I'm just going to press play and hopefully it won't say anything that we have to edit out later on. But
if you randomly press play, it's probably you screaming and it'll be good soundbite.
Yeah, no, I know.
I'm a little upset. I'm actually a little upset I missed what happened.
First of all, we got Chris Scopo's here, obviously.
Hey,
back,
guys.
Back in the chair.
Hey, Gomites.
And we got Robbie the Fire Bernstein back.
Thanks for having me.
On the podcast. Robbie, you're actually podcast bad luck, I realize.
Yes, horrible
Every time
luck.
You're on a podcast, it ends up being put in the can and we don't release it.
Yep.
There's been one on YKWD, there's been one on Legion of Skanks, and has there only been one on Realist Podcast or two?
No, he was on one that just wasn't good.
No, but I thought
maybe there was one
it.
Bad one and one unreleased one.
No, we released
it. Just wasn't good. It literally brought them back 2 years in podcasting.
Yeah.
Okay? So I'm hoping that you're not the common denominator, that you make bad podcasts, because I don't think that you were the problem yesterday. Actually, I will say that it wasn't even a bad podcast yesterday, okay? I'll tell you know what, let's get into what fucking happened. Let me turn on a little bit of fucking Rage Against the Machine, because I'm raging today.
How do you feel from last night?
I feel good. Listen, we'll get into that in a minute, too. Fucking Chris Scopo with his ADD. You taking Addy today, bro?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, all right, so focus,
it hasn't kicked in yet.
All right, you chewed it up 3 minutes ago?
Literally, as we were opening this fucking show.
We should just call this the Adderall Podcast, because everyone on this podcast, we're all little, like, fucking little creepy 20-year-old college kids. We're all fucking figuring out ways to skeeve Adderall. Actually, I'm trying to say that. You guys have prescriptions, and I just skeeve them from you.
Yeah, you're the fucking degenerate.
Yeah, maybe
dealer.
I'm the degenerate,
you're the,
whatever.
You're the degenerate in this situation.
But here's what I like about bringing both of you guys, and you guys are the whitest people I know. Like, if somebody just walked in right now, it looks like you guys are going to be, like, my lawyer team, and I'm about to go to the bullpen and see the judge.
I'm like the hotshot lawyer, but Robbie's the guy that knows all the fucking
details. The guy there with the folders, getting
it
all
Robbie's
together.
Yeah, Robbie's the guy with the details.
Well, here's the deal. It's his father's firm, but you're the shit at the firm.
Yeah. Scope, exactly.
You know? Robbie's just, he's going to fucking obviously be a successful lawyer.
Robbie's,
it's,
you know what it is?
Blood.
Robbie owns the business, but I'm the guy that, you know, is the guy in the face of the business.
You are the Puerto Rican rattlesnake of that firm.
Yeah, exactly.
I get what's going on. So look, here's what happened, okay? I did a show a couple nights ago at a bar show up in Harlem, and it ended up going kind of crazy. Long story short, there was people heckling, there was kind of people being shitty at the bar, and look, I should know, it's a bar show, that's going to happen, you know, obviously, I actually preempted the story yesterday by saying, like, you go into these bar shows, typically you get a lot of people that are not there for the show.
They're just there and the show happens around them.
Exactly. So here's the thing. This is actually where it went bad yesterday, because as I started saying that, right there he cut me off. He was like, no, dude, they were all there for the show. I know the guys weren't there for the show because his buddy told me afterward, the whole incident happened, He was like, yeah, dude, this is the first time we've had a comedy show here. We didn't really know how to act. Like, that, like literally the guy told me that. So, well, all right, whatever. I got into a fucking melee. I'll get into the whole story of that as well. And I think I am going to release this other episode. But we had the producer and host of the show on the podcast yesterday. And we start telling this story.
He was a delight.
He just really weirdly came in. Here's the thing, dude. I ended up fucking mushing a guy at the bar. I dropped the mic. I ended up getting off stage after.
How many minutes into the set was it?
About 6.5, 7 minutes into the set. Actually, I really think I did over 10 minutes. But look.
Did you go back to finishing the set?
I realized that the people that are listening don't know exactly what happened. So let me just fucking lay it all out what happened at the bar really quickly, because it's going to be told on 5 fucking podcasts now anyway. There was people heckling when I got there. His girlfriend was one of the comics on stage. His other co-producer was one of the comics on stage. As I'm watching these people kind of be shitty to them in the back, heckling them, I'm like, nobody's fucking saying anything. So I go up and I say to the one guy, I was like, hey, dude, don't talk to the comics unless they talk to you. I kind of pretend that I'm the bouncer. And the guy pipes down. Then when I get up on stage, the guy starts in again. I kind of shut him down. I'm just kind of like smashing him, you know, doing me, like threatening him a lot. But everyone's laughing. Everyone's having a great time. And then there's another guy with him. And I said something about rape. And the one guy basically called out rape's not funny. So then I threatened to rape his throat in front of his girlfriend. And then it just became a pissing contest.
Just being a real ass dude.
Just being a real ass dude.
Completely reasonable.
It became a pissing contest between me and him. And I just dropped the mic. I jumped off stage and I grabbed him by the fucking face and I mushed him. So that's the whole story.
Was he a big dude?
No, he was a little bitch. I would have done it to a big dude. Are you crazy? here's the thing. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I should ever put my hands on people. It's never, in the 10 years I've done comedy, I've never put my hands on anybody or any audience member, I should say. I haven't.
Didn't you and Big J get into a fight?
No, Big J got into a fucking thing. He literally did that move, and then the other guys tried to jump on Big J, and I started fucking mushing people off of Jay.
Okay.
Mushing is kind of the move. So I haven't done that. But my point was, I was like, this is kind of, and I wasn't even trying to be shitty with the producer of the show. I was just like, look, you know, this is what was going on. I was just telling the story. And he was just very kind of cuntily going, nah, dude, you handle it like an amateur. You handle it like an amateur. It's like, that's not what professionals do. You know, you're a comic. And look, technically he's right. I'm there to make people laugh. But there was a point in that night where I said, hey, dude, you know what? These producers aren't stopping these people from shitting on me. Literally calling out to his girlfriend, telling his girlfriend that she sucks. You're like, dude, you're not even stopping this. And he's going to sit there and just pretend that it's this great show that's going on. And that's why me and him got into it. He did the podcast yesterday. We ended up flipping out. And I flipped out on him. I mean, to the point where I'm like screaming at him, telling him that he's the problem with comedy.
I'm so mad I missed this.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna
so
play
upset
some,
at life.
I'm going to play some clips from it. What I'm going to do, though, just because I don't. Here's the thing. I'm a real ass dude. And I'm not going to, I felt bad because I, here's what I did. I hit this guy up on Facebook afterwards because I felt bad. I've known this guy a long time. I've known him like since I started comedy. He's been doing comedy as long as me. And I was like, dude, I was like, this is fucking weird. I was like, I don't want to have a weird thing with you. Obviously, we just agree to disagree. You know, he was like literally, my problem was that he wouldn't even give a little bit that those people should have been shut up. He said they weren't a problem at all. And that's just fucking crazy to me. That really made me angry. In fact, what really set me off is when he said, oh, dude, the guy stayed the rest of the show and he was great. That made me want to punch this kid in his fucking mouth. Right. It's like, dude, that guy should have been ejected when the first comic went up.
But it's hard to eject people from bar shows.
Well, then, this is the point. This is why I posted on Facebook. I'm not doing shitty bar shows anymore because I don't need that.
You're not going to do Lantern anymore?
No, not really. No.
Right. To add, they weren't just heckling. You said they were actually saying that joke stinks or
yeah,
you're not
that
funny,
joke stinks.
Which
you're
is,
not
that's
funny.
Like a different level of heckling. That's
dude,
not
just literally every comic before me and the other comics. And I think, Robbie, you made this point yesterday. I think they're a little bit more desperate for stage time, so they kind of just eat a little bit more shit. I'm not desperate for stage time. I'm not to suck my own dick here, but I create a situation in my life where I am fine. I learned a long time ago. I'm not going to fucking depend on any dude where I have to email him every month and go, oh, dude, Kyle, what's going on? Did I do something wrong this month? What's going on? Am I not funny enough? Do you need a new tape?
Why are you making fun of me in Scopo?
I'm not going to be that guy.
We're just trying to hang out.
Where's Joe Harari? Is he in the room? Where's Joe? Is he around? Can you grab him? Because I want to get his opinion on this shit. I don't want to be that fucking guy, and I create situations for myself, whether it's been by producing shows throughout the years. I put my girlfriend in a position where she's now booking a show that she could put me on all the time. I make friends with people that are fucking funny and talented, that have shit going on. I don't need to go do those rooms. 3 years ago, I needed those rooms. So I it's not like I'm not even saying that I'm like so far fucking advanced. Here, share the mic with Bernstein. Robbie Bernstein. How whack is it when guys do this, Joe? Because I was saying this. Because I'm making the point about obviously the incident that happened.
Joe's got to be a little professional here, so he might not be able to. He might not be able to say what he wants to say.
Potato, no, I'm gonna say what I fucking want to say right now.
I fucking love it.
Potato,
real ass Booker. He's a real ass Booker.
You got me in a good mood.
So here's the thing. Here's what kind of bugs me, because you know I did this show and I was making the point that I don't really fucking need this stage time, and I put myself in a situation where I.
Are you saying what kind of show it was? Or
it was a bar show.
This is the one we're talking about. Okay. Yeah.
So the point that I'm making is I don't want to be. A long time ago, I made a decision to not be the guy that is ever overly dependent on any one club, any one room, any one booker. And I was just making the point, how whack is it? I'm sure you don't say names, obviously. Okay. But how often do you get this, right? You haven't booked a guy. Maybe a month or two goes by. For whatever reason it is, you just didn't get to book him because there's a million fucking dudes coming
absolutely
at you. How often and how whack is it when the guy, you get this email. Hey, Joe, what's going on, dude? I haven't been booked in a few months. I just kind of want to see what was going on. What did I do? Is there anything that I did wrong? Or do you not look at those guys like, come on, dude. Like, just fucking get it. It's just part of the game.
I'll give you a good example. The other night, somebody came in and got in my face, and he was like, come on. It's been 5 months. It's 5 months. Seriously? Oh. Seriously? It's 5 months. And I was, listen, I just don't have room for you. You're just not right for the club. It's not what we're trying to do. It's 5 months. 5 months. Come on. You're going to give me something or throw me. I'm like, dude, seriously, like, why are you putting me in this position?
It's a weird thing.
You know, we don't want you here.
Isn't it sexier for that guy to just go, like, to, like, just disappear and not be around? And then the next time you see him, it's on TV or it's at another comedy club that's really respected or some other comic is saying, hey, why don't you work that guy? Isn't it better to just be out of sight and out of mind and not to be knocking on these bookers' fucking doors and begging them for fucking stage time? That's the way that I do it. There's plenty of clubs that haven't booked me in fucking months and months and months.
Well, that's like something I'm afraid of. Like me saying somebody, nah, I don't really have time for you. And then a couple weeks, months go by and now they're huge. And I fucked up and I didn't do a good job. And that's a reflection on me.
But that's not necessarily a reflection on you, because in all honesty, it's not your job as a booker. I don't think it's your job to predict who the next big thing is. I think it's your job to
put on the best shows possible.
Put on the absolute best show possible. Make sure that the seats are, the shows are high quality enough that the seats are filled, the people go home, they tweet that they had a great time, they want to come back. In reality, there's nobody in showcase clubs in New York City. This is not Caroline's.
What bothers me the most is when people are like, oh, come on, just put me up. I'm like, I need to see you perform first. They're like, oh, then put me up here at a guest spot. I'm like, no, just
that's
tell
the best one.
Yeah,
that's
like,
the best one.
Seriously, go.
No, dude, give me a spot, yeah, and then you'll see me.
Tell me where you're performing. I will come and see it if I really care about you.
Because I think this is actually a good conversation. I know a lot of comics listen to this show, and we're going to get Robbie back on in a second.
Joe, I'll be at the Village Lantern tonight, by the way.
Give these guys advice. What do you say? If there's a comic who hasn't worked here before, you never met them.
Yeah.
Okay. You've never met them in your life. You've never shaken hands with this guy before. What is the best chance that he's got to get stage time at Stand Up New York? What is the way to approach it? Because I think people do approach it
the
wrong way.
The way to do it is come here once, meet me, let me know you exist.
And don't say shit about stage time
time. Yeah, don't, whatever. Let me say, okay, here's my email address, send me a tape, and, you know, let me know if you're performing anywhere in the next couple days or in the next month. I'll try to come to a show.
Right.
And get me to come to the fucking show. That's how I'll do it.
Sends you a tape, are you going to watch it?
I have. I watched a lot of tapes, and actually, like, I've watched a tape and been like, oh shit, this kid is good, and, you know, I got him a guest spot.
Now, what, let me ask you this, because I think this is actually really interesting, I really do, and I think I know a lot of these answers already, just because I've been doing it a little bit longer.
I'm learning them, that's the whole thing.
No, I know, dude, you, you're fucking great, you know, I fucking love you. Somebody sends you a tape, you know, 2-3 weeks go by, when do you think they should follow up? When's the point where they say, hey, dude, I just want to make sure you got that tape, so you just want to get some feedback from you, because this is what I would do. If I were to email a booker, and I mean, very recently, hey, dude, this is my tape. These are my credits. This is my bio. You know, I do this for headlining now because I'm trying to get out there and headline. I don't have an agent, so I just fucking email people. I was like, you know, let me know what's up. Usually I wait about a month, and then I'll follow up. Hey, just wanted to follow up. Make sure you got that tape. Any feedback would be appreciated. Boom.
Anything over 2 weeks is totally cool with me. If you're doing it in under a week, you know, I'm like, seriously, guy,
It's just, but like, I think the point is, it's not sexy. Like, here's the thing, comedy, we have to kind of keep it sexy. You know what I'm saying? And you have to send a message that you're a working comic. Andrew Schultz, a long time ago, the first tour that he ever did, I learned a lot from Andrew Schultz. I think we got to get him on this show because he's fucking great.
I fucking
great,
love
dude.
Schultz.
He understands the business really of this, and he understood the business of this before he understood how to be a comedian. Very, very early in the game, he understood how to fucking present himself. And I remember we had a conversation when he did his first tour up in Canada. This is before Guy Code. This is when he had a couple thousand Twitter followers. He just put out fucking, you know, 16 dates, whatever it was. It was across Canada. And it was awesome. I was like, oh, dude, Schultz is doing a headlining tour. That's kind of nuts. We were all doing comedy for like 5 years or something at the time. And then he came back and he told me, he was like, ah, dude, most of the rooms were empty. He was like, for the most part, it was fucking empty
rooms.
It's about
that hype, though. Yeah.
He was like, all it was sending a fucking message that, hey, dude, I got shit going on. And then that just snowballs and snowballs and snowballs. I've used this example a million times in my own career, and I love the analogy. There's that movie, Never Been Kissed. Drew Barrymore.
Yeah, the high school movie. Right?
Yeah, I really do love this because it really comes down to, it stuck with me when I was in the ninth grade when I saw this movie. First time I ever laid my eyes on Jessica Alba. Oh, she was so hot in that movie. She was just like
very young Jessica Alba.
Very young. Oh, yeah. Oh, I wish she was still that age. So the whole point of the movie is this chick writes for a newspaper. And now she's a little bit older. She's kind of pretty, but when she was in high school, she was Josie Grossi. She was fat and ugly. She had braces. She had bad skin. And she had a horrible high school experience. So she has this idea to go back to high school and kind of relive it and write this article for this newspaper. And kind of, the article was called Never Been Kissed because she had never been kissed in high school. So she goes back and she's going to be cool. She has a nice car, shows up the first day, and she's still that fucking nerd deep inside. Even though she's pretty, she's still kind of that nerd deep down inside. So she ends up doing some stupid shit and people are making fun of her day one. She's a fucking nerd. Like everyone's like, ah, who the fuck is this idiot? So her brother, played by David Arquette, he was super cool in high school. The next day, she comes back to school. He's there, and she starts freaking out. She's like, why are you here? What are you doing? And he was like, no, trust me. I'm going to help you. She's like, no, you're not going to fucking help me. What, are you an idiot? He's like, look, I'm cool. He was like, cool people are dumb. He was like, they have no idea. They don't have any opinions. They don't know anything. He's like, all you need is one cool person to say, hey, you're fucking cool. You're the shit. And then everybody else is not going to have the spine to not follow suit. And I think that's so true in comedy. It's so true in entertainment. I watched it happen with me and Bobby Kelly. Nobody gave a fuck about me at all. Nobody gave me anything.
But the second Bobby
had
your
back. The second Bobby
had
me on my show. The second Bobby was saying I was funny. The second Bobby got me in with his management. Then all of a sudden people were like, oh, Lewis is funny. And look, dude, and then they saw me for what I am. It's not like I'm setting the world on fire right now. But now more opportunities have opened up because somebody finally said, hey, dude, you're fucking cool. But it's all about perception. And if you're in a club going, come on, dude, you haven't booked me, man. Come on, dude. Come on, dude. You're like, all you're doing is you're telling that booker that you're desperate.
You have nothing else going on.
You have
on.
Nothing else yeah. going on. You know, you should literally act like you don't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? And the point I'm making
But the flip
is,
side is you're trying to break. You're trying to break it. You
of
know?
Course,
and
but it has, you have to do it in
a
very subtle
sexy way.
Way
like, as you're saying.
I just love how he went from Andrew Schultz to Never Been Kissed.
Yeah.
It was a great segue.
In one sentence.
Yeah.
In one.
It was ridiculous.
It was, a run-on sentence.
Run-on yeah. sentence in the history of mankind.
I mean, you did explain the movie of Never Been Kissed.
I literally gave
I have
you
to rewatch this now.
Gave me the plot.
A synopsis of the movie. Yeah, she gets kissed. It's the teacher.
Should we get Bernstein yeah. back?
Spoiler alert. Get Bernie back in here. Joe, thank you
so
much.
Thank you
so
much.
For
I hope I was
for these
all
young
right.
comics. You were great, dude, obviously.
Joe Harari, everybody.
Joe Harari, guys. So, yeah, dude, by the way, if I play this in a minute, don't go to the video on the screen because here's the thing. I'm going to release this episode. I got into an argument with this producer, but after I emailed him, we kind of got into it a little back and forth and I fucked up and I gave him the out. I said, hey, dude, look, if you don't want me to put it out, I won't put it out. I want to put it out. I think it's a good episode. And honestly, I think I'm right in the argument. I think I handled the argument wrong, just like I handled the heckler wrong. You know, I shouldn't have screamed at this guy that I've known for 10 years. I shouldn't have told him that he's the problem with comedy, and I shouldn't have called him a cunt and a bitch a few times. But, you know...
I really wish I was here for that.
Oh, yeah, it was great. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to have my guys... I have a handful of interns that work for Luis J. Gomez Networks. And I'm going to have them edit up...
The Empire.
I'm going to have them edit together or bleep out every time his name is said and every time anything that could tell you who he was said because he doesn't want to be involved with the podcast. I completely get it. I have to respect that. You know, because John was a little bit upset about it. He, dude, I emailed John that. I was like, dude, I can't put it out. John calls me on speakerphone. He's like, dude, we have the entire staff here. We have to put out this episode. You're crazy. And I'm like, dude, what am I supposed to do? I was like, I personally went through it with Last Comic Standing. I had people remove certain things that I had said and done because I was scared because I was doing a network TV show. And I said, yeah, hey,
you
dude.
You suck Bobby Kelly's dick.
Look, in reality, it wouldn't have mattered. The more I'm thinking about it, it just wouldn't have mattered.
You just don't want to do it, just in case you did go
you
father.
Never fucking yeah. know. You never know. So I need to show people the same type of respect that I would expect others to show me. And this is for any of the podcasts that I have. I told Karen the same thing when she was on the Real Ass podcast. If she ever had an opportunity come up and she said, hey, dude, like that fucking video of me being a drunken idiot is fucking things up, we would remove that. We're not in the business of trying to fuck people over, you know? But this episode, it ended up being kind of fucking crazy. What I'm going to do is really quick. Let me open it up. Let me quick time player. I'm just going to go to random shots in it and kind of see some crazy shit, but we will edit it out. Next week's episode will be the episode where me and this guy freak out on each other. Here, let me see. Let's see. What is this?
And Roland.
Why don't you just put a bonus? Baby, oh, baby,
baby, oh. Let's see. Oh, again,
that's great.
Where there's people,
nobody fights the audience.
Some people fight the audience.
It's stupid.
There's a lot of
it
people.
It defeats the whole point of stand-up comedy.
Let me tell you something. I agree that it's stupid. That it's stupid that I should not put my hands on other people.
Can I also, let me finish the end of the story.
Good.
So this is what makes it even crazier. I understand people losing their shit. Totally fine. I've lost my shit at shows.
I want to say, like...
Wait, I haven't even fucking spoke to you in fucking years. I saw you on the street. I thought we were just fucking cool.
We are cool.
I didn't know.
But
we're
you're
not cool.
Being so mad.
We're not cool, Dan. Okay. We're not cool, all right?
I guess we're not cool. You're pointing at me.
You're
going to
sit there
like
and say, that's a first-year comic move. That's what first-year comics do.
No, dude, I'm just being like...
Anybody who produces a fucking show shuts those fucking people up. Period. And you know what I did for the first 6 years I did comedy? I produced fucking shows.
That's
and you know what I did?
You.
If people were
That's
disrespecting
right.
comics on my show and telling them they sucked, I got them the fuck out of the room. That I stand by everything I just fucking said right there.
You're so fucking out of me.
I'm getting myself pumped the fuck up right now.
It sounds like an
you
wrestling
watch this
match. Like you're about to fucking just shred off your clothes, hop in
this
the
is
ring.
This is
going to
be your new rock video before you work out.
Dude, look at the face. You. Look at you. By the way, you can cut to that face right there. Look at the anger. Cut to that face right there. On the vid. That's an angry fucking face right there, dude. Look at that.
Fucking hilarious.
That is anger right there. Now, Robbie, you were there, dude. And look, cooler heads have prevailed at this point. I'll maybe play some more clips from this throughout the show.
Were you not high at the time? You just...
Yeah, I was high.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe you didn't have weed. You a little tweaked.
I don't have weed right now. If anybody in this room has weed, oh, I'm going to suck your cock, dude.
I love it. It's stand-up New York.
Dude,
all hands go up.
Dude, I'm going to suck Andrew's cock. Yeah, dude, look. No, I had weed. I thought he was going to come in.
You do get a little...
I get a little angry, you're right.
Aggravated we don't have weed.
Here's the thing, though. He came in. I expected him to give me shit. Dude, I told the story in Legion of Skanks last night. Dave Smith, the first thing he said, yeah, dude, you can't hit people. You're a psycho. He just did it in a funny way. He did it in a way where he wasn't being a cunt. I thought this kid was going to come in and be like, yeah, dude, you're a fucking lunatic. But he was going to go, yeah, those people were shitheads. And he didn't. He was like, yeah, those people were fine. It's all fucking you. And that's really what set me off. That really bothered me. You know, especially because it's not my show. And I went and got their back. They're the producer of the show. And while they're on stage, I'm going and telling the guy to be quiet. Because I feel like we need to fucking pick each other up. We're all brothers here. You know what I'm saying? Like, here's the thing. Even comics that I don't fucking like, even this cunt face, right? If I saw some dude fucking with him in the street, because he's a comic and because we have that kinship, I will get his back 10 out of 10 fucking times. You know, and for me, it really bothered me that it kind of was laid out like that. And it really took me off guard the way that he came in. I thought it was extremely disrespectful. Even listening back now, just the way he's fucking talking, it's pissing me off. Robbie, am I crazy here? Can you give me a little bit of your perspective of what happened yesterday?
Oh, yeah. Sure, I was here. Yeah, I would say, no, you definitely got really mad at him, but he was being pretty cunty. I think the only way that we kind of lost the rails was it just got a little circular in the argument. Of almost like a shouting match. I'm right. No, you're right. I'm wrong. You're wrong.
Well, the name of the episode is I'm Right, You're Wrong.
Right.
And then I also shut his mic down. Let me see if I could find that where I turned
his mic off.
I didn't turn it off. I turned it really low. And I told him, you're not going to yell at me at the same volume as me.
You're such a dick. You really are.
I'm so angry.
You pulled the fucking... Who did that move on radio? Oh, you did the fucking cowhead move.
Cowhead, yeah.
You did
the fucking cowhead
move.
I will say, by the way, I learned it from Cowhead.
The legendary.
I learned it from the living legend himself, Cowhead, to turn the mic down a little bit on your opponent.
But I will say, he didn't come in wanting to have a conversation. He wanted to come in and say, you're a crazy person. You need help. Like,
well, I mean, he is kind of right on that part.
I never denied being a crazy person.
No, but he was taking the stance that these people weren't even heckling. Nobody heard them but Lewis. It wasn't even an incident. And he wasn't willing to give on that at all or even have a conversation. So right up front, his tone was kind of cunty.
Dude, here's the thing. If my chick is on stage, okay, this is his fucking chick. She's on stage. And the guy literally goes, yeah, that joke wasn't funny. And she said, what'd you say? No, no, no. And then he clarified. He said, no, the joke wasn't funny. I mean, to her, through a room of people. And then this guy literally sat there and go, no, I didn't hear that. He lied.
Was the joke not funny?
It was fine. Everybody actually on the show was really funny comics. I was pleasantly surprised by everybody on the show. They were all very funny. They all had funny jokes. Here, let's hear another clip.
Great. Yeah, it was right, fine. Get the fuck off my podcast.
There we go. It's another clip. It got there.
Get the fuck off my podcast.
Fine, you were being a nice guy.
I'm literally just randomly pressing play.
That's really, really stressful. So I need help right now with my anger. I will admit that wholeheartedly.
See?
I will never sit here and fucking say I should ever, ever touch somebody. But for you to sit there and say that that was a great show and that that guy wasn't disrespecting the comics, that's where I go, wow, dude, that's fucking crazy, dude. Because there needs to be a fucking standard set in this city. Okay. And that is...
That's a standard. Go for it. I'd be so happy.
All right, dude. Well, I did. Well, I set my own standard, and I won't do shitty bar shows anymore.
Right.
So that's that.
That's awesome.
Sorry, Zach.
That's fine.
See, that was my guess.
Can't do your show anymore.
That was Robbie Bernstein whistling. All right, so I'm done with this. Well, I'll put this out next week. We'll edit it up. You'll get the whole fucking argument, the whole fight. Guys, I'm a fucking hothead. I know you got a bunch of these people are going to hit me up and be like, dude, you're a psychopath. Like,
imagine if we just found out that there was no yelling at the bar show at all. It was all in your head.
No, I wish I can get somebody else. It's not important enough.
Do you know
me.
Anybody else on the show? Did you know anybody else?
Yeah, I know the other people on the show.
You should have got them on then.
You should get them on the phone. Let me see if I can get, maybe we'll take a break and I'll get one of them on the phone.
That's good. Crazy. Yeah.
I guess in 5 years of doing comedy, it's only happened to me once, but at some point you can't do comedy anymore. I had once at LOL, guy sitting in the front, he's filming me. So at some point I noticed he's filming me, and just very nice. I was like, hey man, if you don't mind, I'd rather you not film me. I move on, set's going fine, and then he's back up there front row with his phone right in front of me, filming me.
Letting you know he doesn't give a fuck.
So then at that point, it's like, just as a if let's say me and you were on the subway and I said, hey, your bag's on my leg, can you not have your bag on my, and then you put it back on my, now me and you have a problem.
Well, exactly. Well, that's when you stop being Robbie the Fire
anymore.
Bernstein on your way to your fucking job stocking vending machines.
Yes.
And you become Robbie Bernstein, the man who's being disrespected by another man.
Yes.
And look, that's life. No, if you work on Wall Street, you're not supposed to punch people in the face either. But if somebody is just disrespecting you, and not only disrespecting you, but trying to take money out of your fucking pocket, because that's the way that I look at it. My payment on this show is me going up and doing 10 minutes of comedy. That is my payment. I'm not being paid any money for this. The only thing that I'm getting out of this is to go up there and work on the jokes that I decided that I want to work on that day. That's all. So if he's taking that away from me, he's taking my fucking payment away from me. And then I get really crazy. I make the connection how he's trying to murder my son. Like, it literally goes right there. I'm like, oh, dude, this guy's trying to kill my son now. Oh, really, bro? Oh, that's not funny. You're trying to murder my child. That's the crazy. And I admit that that's crazy, but there is a logical order there. It's not like it's fucking, it's not like it's out of this world for me to go like, oh, dude, that guy is really, really, really disrespectful. He is fucking with my fucking dreams, dude. And I really do mean that. You know, this is what I do every single fucking day. And if you're at a place that's not paying you, okay, that's a very important thing, dude. If a place is paying me, if I'm at Stand Up New York and they pay me to come and entertain their crowd on a Saturday night for $75.
You can't do that.
You can't do it, dude. I'm being paid specifically to just entertain them. If they don't kick him out, what I would do is...
Yeah, but I was going to say, but a place like Stand Up New York will
kick him out.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. Yeah. So it's kind of a moot point. But if that did happen, I would get off stage and I would go right up to JR or whoever the fuck is managing that night. And I'd be like, dude, what the fuck? There's a guy heckling the whole fucking set, dude. I want to punch this guy in the mouth right now. Can somebody do something? You handle it differently in that situation. But if I'm at this fucking bar show and they're all just sitting in the back watching this fucking happen, I'm not getting paid. And it's over and over and over and over again. At what point I'm going to say, hey, dude, shut the fuck up, or I'm going to make you shut up. And then if he wants to sit there and challenge me, well, then he's challenging a man. He's not challenging a comic. He's challenging another man.
I also think at some point, like, for instance, that video thing, there's no more opportunity for being funny. I said, don't do this. Now you're doing it. So I actually think it's helpful. What I did in that case, the light went on. I stopped in the middle of my joke and I said, I'm sorry to the rest of you. I'm not finishing the joke. You really just bothered me. You shouldn't be filming comics. And then I got off the stage.
Yeah, you're goddamn right.
And then at that point, I actually just helped the show because I said, You just
you got off stage?
Yes, exactly. Good one.
No, I was waiting. I had a few in there at the time.
You're setting a precedent, like, good or bad, I'm not going to work under, like, if this is what's going on in the room, the next guy's not either. So, you know, as an audience, you have to kind of get your shit together.
You have to do that.
And you have to do that.
I host a lot of shows, and I do that as a host a lot of the time. There's people being shitty. I'll break the fourth wall. I'm not just going to murmur through my jokes. Right. And this is what the host of that show was doing. He was just acting like nothing was going on, murmuring through his jokes, and you're like, dude, you're setting it up for this to be the whole fucking show. Stop doing your joke and go, hey, dude, you got to stop doing that. We got a show. A lot of these guys are working on shit that they're trying to get on television. They're, you know, if you keep on interrupting the jokes, we're not able to do what we're doing. And then I would point out to the rest of the audience, I'm like, guys, I'm sorry, this guy's kind of an asshole. Get them. I would get them to be on my side and get them to tell this guy to shut the fuck up. The problem was it wasn't a professional host. It wasn't a professional producer. It wasn't a bar show that was used to having comedians there. So none of that was going on. And then they expect professional comics to come in and work in that situation. It's fucking crazy to me.
It was great. And that thing was Mark Norman walked in only the second time I told the guy to put the thing away. And then when I got off, I just looked like such a pompous douche.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
I'm not doing my jokes.
I'm not doing. Peace. I can't work like this.
What's the closest you ever come to hitting an audience member, Chris Scopo?
Well, I mean, I ran a show at Opal. And I wasn't the host. I was just doing a spot. It was a good show. It was like, maybe 10 people. It was good. Then these, like, 10
so
drunk...
funny, because that's what I kept on saying yesterday. It's like, this what he got mad at was the fact that I said, I was like, dude, you must have eaten a lot of shit in your career if that is what you consider a good show. So I'm going to say the same thing to you, Chris Scopo. You must have eaten a lot of shit in your career describing a 10-person bar show as a good show.
Oh, yeah, dude, I've been doing comedy 5 years. I'm not Pete Davidson. I don't get the fucking jump up.
It's a goddamn nightmare. Anyway, go.
So it was like 10 people. The show was good. You know, people were laughing. It was great. And then these seven or eight fucking like douchey guys came in, and they were just being loud in the back. I'm like, hey, guys, why don't you come to the front and hang out? And they're like, nah, fuck you. And I was just like, the show's going to be better if you come up. Nah, go fuck yourself, you faggot. And I was just It took over. I was like, I want to fucking hit these guys.
Let me pause you because I want to know what you did. But I'm not the guy at that point where I can go, okay, guys, so where are you from? I'm sorry, dude. I'm sorry. That guy's got to go or I'm not telling fucking jokes.
Here's
the
thing, though. I said leave. I like, you guys got to leave. And they're like, nah, make us. And it was like 8 versus me. And I was like, just fucking sitting there. I was arguing with them for a while. I ate my dick. And then I got off stage, and then I was like, one of them said something to me, and I was just like, you know what? I would get my ass kicked here. It'd be 8 versus 1.
So the closest you've ever come to hitting an audience member was you cowering with your tail between your legs.
Yeah.
Being called a bitch and a faggot.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure. We are different people.
The only good thing about it was they were hitting on Ashley. Ashley was in the back, and they were like hitting on her, and then they saw me making out with her at the end, and I kind of got revenge. I was like, yeah, she's with me. And it kind of gave me a good feeling.
Yeah, you won that one, Scrubs. Yeah. They called you a faggot and a bitch in front of your girlfriend, and then she fucking kissed you to make you feel better, and then dumped you later on.
I don't know why you got to go there. Personal.
Robbie, what's the closest you ever come to hitting an audience member?
I used to do the show at Bar None. I'd just been dumped by a girlfriend. I was super hammered, and there was a table of black dudes in the back who were kind of heckling me. And at one point, I screamed. I was like, why don't you come up here and slap me right now? I said something really dumb like that. I was like, and I meant it. I was like, why don't you come up here, slap me in the face
why,
right
did he
now?
Say he was going to slap you? Is that what it is?
No, he didn't. I listened back to the footage. I went so over the top, just racist.
For no reason.
It was so embarrassing. Nice. Like, in my head at the time, I thought I was 100% right. And then when I got off stage, the other comics were like, I think you need to leave.
Bernstein's biggest influence in comedy is Kramer.
They go, I think you need to leave before these people, like, kill you. It was really
bad. What do these people mean? What does these people mean?
Oh, I got a candle thrown at me, too. That was by a chick, so I couldn't fucking hit her.
Are pussies.
I mean, oh, okay. Yeah, I got a candle, and I'm a pussy for that.
Well, look.
Dude, 8 versus 1, and I'm going to fucking fight these guys.
Let me tell you something, dude. If those guys were fucking talking shit.
You would have got your ass kicked. They were big fucking dudes.
I might have got my ass kicked, but there's no way I would have gone up on stage and just eaten my dick while they're calling me a fag.
Well, then I'm not going to ruin the show for the rest of the buddies.
No, they ruined the show. And whoever was in charge of that show should have removed them. Here's the problem, dude. It does not fall on us. If you would have dropped the mic and said, fuck you, meet me outside, and then that was the end of the show, that's not on you. Okay, we as comedians, why is it?
And yeah,
this,
I'm not
this
gonna,
is the problem with the alt comedy scene.
No,
it's the problem with the bar
scene.
I'm
not going to get my ass kicked for a fucking comedy
show. Even if you fucking run out and go hide in the bathroom, okay, that's a better move than fucking eating your dick and just letting these people disrespect the art. Okay, you got nothing from that. You got absolutely nothing from the experience. Okay, I'm not one of these guys who's going like that's what the producer of the show said. He's like, oh, dude, you should just gotten him. Use your words. You're not fucking paying me to get these people, so, okay? I'm not using audience members as fodder. I have a specific job to do. I have specific jokes that I'm trying to work on. There's nothing about that experience that is fucking positive.
So the only other side of that is as a courtesy to the other comics, sometimes you just go, all right, I'm going to eat it for the 7 minutes.
It's not you, though. That's right. On the producer of the show. It's on the security.
It's
on the venue.
I was the fucking producer of the show.
Okay, well, it's all on you.
But
that point, you say, fuck it. You're the producer of the show.
Told them to leave. They said no.
Then you say, show's over. And you go to the bar.
Can't do it. I had two more comics that are waiting to get up the whole time. I'm not going to fucking ruin the show for them.
You're not ruining the show. Okay? The show shouldn't even exist. It just shouldn't exist. It shouldn't be there. If the management isn't willing to step up and remove the people, if there's not security, the show shouldn't exist.
Yeah, dude, but yeah. you're taking it to another level. Bar shows in the city, it's kind of on your own. A lot of the times, it's kind of on your own.
That's why they suck.
Yeah, I know.
That's why they fucking blow. This is why I'm not doing them anymore.
So it's not always on, you know, the fucking producer. Listen, that guy should have told him to shut up.
I think that's a problem.
I told him to shut up, too, but then they fucking threatened to kick my ass.
It's a problem with comedy. I think it's a problem with comedy that people treat comedians like we're fucking weak, like we're fucking nerds.
I'm not fucking weak. Like I'm not weak, but I'm not fucking stupid.
No, I agree with
you. I'm not stupid to get my ass kicked.
I think we're doing almost apologetic comedy. We're up there. We're almost like, I'm sorry I'm performing to you. So it's like, if people start getting all shitty on our bar show, we're like, well, we brought you in from outside. We're desperate to tell jokes. We're going to kind of run with you being shitty because hopefully I'll be able to work on this or I'll catch you on this joke. And then if I don't, maybe the next guy will come up here and that he'll get you. And then someone will get something out of this. As opposed to the way Lewis, the second it's not a show, fuck this. Like, you guys don't want to hear jokes. You guys are being shitty. We're not doing comedy anymore, which I agree with. Like, I've hosted down in the Village where I'm like, I'm not hosting the show anymore. Like, you can do it on your own. There's no reason for me to go up there. This sucks. I'm not helping you in any way, and it just stinks.
I think it's just overall a problem with comedy, and I don't even know if it's a fixable problem. I'm not saying get rid of bar shows. I just think that, like, when I started in comedy, it wasn't this thing. I mean, I also started watching guys that were in clubs. I never really did the bar scene, and I kind of just... I just kind of ran my own shows from day one, so I never really had to go through that process. But going back now, I'm like, why would I ever go into an environment like that for free? I cannot wrap my mind around the point. I guess as a young comic, if you're really desperate for stage time, you'll do whatever. But it's still...
People
who produce these shows kind of need to kind of get together and get on the same page and say, hey, dude, no, it becomes your responsibility as a producer. It's not just who convinced the bar owner to put a mic up one night. Is that a producer? I thought a producer is in charge of getting the audience, retaining the audience, creating a relationship between the audience and the comedians, booking the comedians, making sure that the comedians are happy, making sure that everybody involved is happy, making sure the bar's making money. That's kind of the idea of a producer. They have to make sure it's not just, dude, I'm going to get up and do my 10 minutes and, oh, fuck it, dude, hopefully it'll be good for these guys. That's not a producer.
But I
produce shows for years.
But, dude, the bar scene in New York City is just, it's a way to get into the clubs. That's all it really comes down. It's a way to get on stage, get into the clubs eventually.
I know. I'm not disagreeing that it's stage time. That's all it is. It's stage time. But I'm just saying it's really shitty quality stage time for the most part. For the most part. And I think it's pretty fucking disrespectful. And if you're an audience member who maybe has never, who has done that, I mean, look, there's people that are listening right now that have been in a bar where they dropped a comedy show on them in the middle of their night, you know, and it's a weird thing. You go like, I don't know. I mean, is it really even their fault? They didn't sign up for comedy, you know? It's just kind of a completely broken system.
The couple times I did like music mics, I didn't like it for that reason because I felt like you can't go after them for not listening to you. They weren't there to hear comedy.
Yeah.
So I the same thing at a bar show. If you just kind of throw it on the people sitting at a bar, you can't really get upset at them if they're not.
Look, I get the challenge. You know, like I thought of an idea a while ago to do like a surprise
comedy.
Surprise comedy karaoke takeover. Like, and just work it out with the, like, karaoke bar. Like, in the middle of a karaoke thing, just somebody get up and do 3 minutes of stand-up, like, in the middle of a fucking karaoke night. And I thought it'd be kind of a fun, like, experiment, but people would hate it. We did it once. We did it with Dave Kinney.
They hated it. When you have fucking drunk chicks trying to sing Bon Jovi, and then you got to do come up and do time.
Let's see. We're going to do another random clip.
We were talking about you were calling us pussies for not liking getting into fights.
I didn't say you're pussies for not getting into fights. I said the fact is that you describe the closest you have ever been to hitting an audience member as you guys getting bitched out.
I mean, I'm a tiny Jew, so I don't try and get into fights. One time I tried throwing a punch, I just fell on the floor. So since then, I avoid fighting like anything.
By the way, you're not really tiny, Rob.
Yeah, you're not a fucking tiny kid.
I'm a pretty big kid. You're strong,
too. You're stocky.
I'm 5'6", though. I'm not...
Are you 5'6"?
Yeah, 5'6".
I'm 5'6".
I think you're using some sort of weird old-timey Jew measurer.
Yeah. No, I'm telling you.
Do you have lifts on your feet?
Because I'm fatter than I look, so think I'm bigger than I am.
No, but you're not 5'6", dude.
I'm telling you, I'm
5'10", and you're not fucking 5'6".
Let's go back to back right now. Why would I lie about being short?
I'm going to play another clip. Let's see. Never mind. Fuck off. All right, anyway, look, Shiprocked was great.
He had to make more room for fucking videos of Zach Wilde noodling on a guitar for 58 minutes.
It was actually awesome, dude. Zach, I want to say the name of the show. I don't want you to get in trouble. I don't want this to kind of come back. I don't give a shit. Here's what I found out recently. You're allowed to push people and not get arrested for it. Because some dude fucking put his elbow against my collarbone. The crowd is pretty good. There's three dickheads at the bar that keep on calling shit out. There's a guy with gray hair who's just kind of drunk, who's trying to have a good time. To me, that you've eaten a lot of shit in your career.
Oh, this is the first time
that shit fucking happened at your show. That's not a problem.
That was a reaction.
For people to yell that your comics suck to them, because I will never do that show again.
Nobody was yelling,
let me tell you something, dude.
No, I haven't.
He sounds like Finch from American Pie.
I will not
even cool. Like friends.
We are friends, but I'm telling you right now, it's kind of fucking crazy to me that you're going to sit there and go like, oh, it's not a big deal for somebody to tell your fiance that she sucks and what she said wasn't funny.
That didn't happen.
It did happen, dude.
He mumbled to himself in the
mumble.
Bar.
Dude, he didn't
Nobody
mumble.
Heard it. She doesn't even know that happened. I don't know that happened.
I know what happened, and he said it to her. She said, what did you say? But I forget the exact question, and he said, no, I said the joke wasn't funny. He was saying it to her. So I don't know what you're talking about, dude, and I apologize if you feel disrespected by me saying you've eaten a lot of shit. If you're willing to help, you are out of your mind. You're not helping anything,
dude. Your anger is through the fucking roof.
Let me finish the story.
I think you're just being a real ass dude.
I am being a real ass dude. I'm being a Puerto Rican rattlesnake. That's what I'm being.
Can we get some more bomb blasts in this?
So let me.
That cunty shit right there that he was doing.
He's like, it's not a show in an octagon, man. I'm like, ugh. What a bitch.
That should be your next fucking thing, though.
What a bitch, dude. Well, I mean, that kid just kind of looked. I'm not going to beat a dead horse. Fuck this kid. I honestly will put out that episode next week. I'll put out the whole thing. We'll just edit out his name and the name of his fucking bar show. And that'll be that. You know, I don't know. I don't know what to say. I'm not condoning violence, but if you run a fucking show, if you're a comic and you run a show and there's people heckling your comics, you should say something. That comes on you. And I don't think anybody should disagree with that. And if you're going to sit there and ignore the people shitting on your friends and the people that you work with on stage, I think you're a fucking shitty dude. Okay, we're going to get out of here in a few minutes. Anything else going on, guys, you want to chat about?
No, what are the topics besides?
There's no other topics. I just wanted to come in and do a recap because I know we're going to put this one out. And I could have technically put it out a day late and then... But I wanted to give them an understanding as to why it's going to be all edited up that way.
I thought, weren't we going to talk about picking up chicks?
Oh, yeah.
I've been striking out,
John,
dude.
do we have another 15? Are we okay? Yeah, I think we are. He said we can go till...
10 more.
10 more? All right, cool. Yeah, dude, we were talking the other day because Robbie Bernstein is now...
Struck out Saturday night?
I struck out twice this week.
Who'd you strike out with?
So first Saturday night, I get off stage, Canadian chicks talking to me. And like it's like one of those instant ones, and I'm like, I just go, hey, let's go make. And she's like, yeah, I'll go make out, right? And
so then Robbie Bernstein pulled. Here's what Robbie learned from me, because we had a conversation when I first met Rob. I was like, Robbie, listen to me, dude, just fucking, you're coming off strong. He gets like worked up. He'll get into a girl. He gets really worked up, and he starts latching onto her. I'm like, dude, don't do that. Play it cool. Act like you're disinterested, and just play the numbers. Just keep on just playing the numbers. So he literally. He took it as literal as possible, and now he's just, hey, you want to make out? 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 But he hooks up all the time now.
I wouldn't say it's quite like that, but yeah, I just...
You're very quick to ask a girl to go make out now.
Yes, that's true, because what I find, what works for me is that I don't look at... I'm so strikingly forward that some women are like, holy shit, what's going on here? They dig the confidence. They're like, why is this kid so forward? And then other women, they're not... It's a numbers game, like you said.
Here's what it becomes. Once you become an advanced player like me... my Instagram password has been changed. No, it's a different thing. Once you become an advanced player like me, then you will start to recognize the feeling right. that women give you. And that's what I've noticed like recently. And it's so funny because now I'm like, fuck, well, actually I'm single now, but I'm fucking living with my son's mother, so I can't really take advantage of it.
Your baby mama.
But now I see women just fucking throw it at me. And women throw it at you in a much more subtle way. Like a guy just like, hey, you want to fuck? A woman will just do something like a little touch, yeah. The way she looks at you, she'll hold the look for another half a second. But what I've become really good at now is recognizing that feeling and going, that girl wants to fuck. And then say, like, and it's without a doubt, every single time, as soon as I start talking to her, more and more it unravels. I was like, oh, this chick really wants to fuck every time. Me and Dave were talking about this a lot. I wish I was single because I want to just put this into, like, practice right now in my life. But if you can recognize that feeling, and since you were a young kid, remember when you were 14, you're like, oh, I think that girl likes me? She does. That's it. That feeling, all that thing, that when you go, I think that girl's into me, it's saying, it's not fighting it. It's not being a pussy and going, oh shit, no, she's not into me. I'm, you know, she's too hot for me. It's not, it's fighting that urge to not have confidence.
To defeat yourself.
It happens every single time because they do say a woman will decide within the first minute of meeting if she wants to fuck. And I really do believe that's true. And they will let it know just with a lingering feeling. That's kind of a hard way to describe
what
it.
What I learned to...
Finish story,
right? So back to Saturday night. So the chick was like there with some Jamaican guy or something. She shakes the Jamaican guy. I go upstairs to do another set. Then she comes back up to hang out.
Wait, she physically shook him?
Yeah, like literally.
Why are you so dark? Ew.
So the guy leaves. She comes back up. Cisco hooks. He's like, why don't you just do a set in here? And I'll seat them. I was like, nah, because another comic was going to hang out with us. I was like, I'll just seat them in there. She'll watch them. I'll do checks. Anyways.
By the way, literally that whole part of the story, you can
left
that.
Makes no sense.
Anyway, you can left all that part of the story.
All right, edit that. Should I drop the name right now so that
no,
they have to edit
fine,
it?
You're fine.
Anyways, I go up, I do another set. I eat it so bad, late show at LOL,
I had a rough set that night.
She's
yeah.
like, oh, I have a headache.
And
then we go to the bar. And
oh,
I'm,
dude, you're unfunny, dried her pussy out.
Yes, and I've already committed to staying out because it's past the late train. Oh. So I'm just sitting there basically winging the other guy until like 4.
The Jamaican guy?
No, not the Jamaican guy. Another comic who did okay with the other chick.
Who was the comic? Oh, you can't say.
I don't know if
I. You don't know if he's got a girlfriend.
Yeah. and then Tuesday, so I got a number of this blue-haired Australian girl, all tatted up. She's got like the big ears.
It was Miguel
like,
Damel's girlfriend doing an accent.
Yeah, that's Miguel's girlfriend. What are you talking about?
Hey, mate, I'll suck your cock.
I can't admit to striking out with that chick. No. So I go. I meet up with this chick on Tuesday. We go out all night.
That was last night.
Was that last night? No, Monday night. I guess it was Monday night. I went out. We're hanging at a bar. Then it's coming time. I got to book the train. We go outside. We start making out. She just stops me. She goes, get me a cab. I was like, great. We're going back to your place.
Nice.
I was like, great. We're going back to your place. She's like, no, be a gentleman. I'm going home.
Ah.
I don't even know what happened on that one.
Well, look, here's the thing. That's not striking out. Striking out. Look, if a girl's making out with you.
Yeah.
It's not striking out. That's kind of like, you know, you get on first base. They actually give them bases. You know, you didn't fucking hit a home run, but that's not crazy. You know, look, you can't.
Oh, you hit a single up the middle. All right. Yeah. It was solid.
That's fine,
made
dude.
Solid contact.
That's fine.
All right.
You made out with a hot Australian chick with blue hair.
Yeah.
That's pretty fucking good. But that's it. Like, that's the thing. The other thing is, like, I watch people on Tinder all the time do this, and you can almost, like, do it in real life. I think part of the game, if I was single, I think I could really implement so much of this in my life. I think you could literally just play the numbers game of girls you're going to fuck, and then also play the numbers game of, like, smoking hot girls that you could just date for a few weeks and then fuck them. Because if you're single, you can kind of just make that happen now. You know, I watch guys do that with Tinder all the time. They'll just, like, get girls that they want to fuck, or they'll just respond to some girls on Tinder, and they just keep on playing the numbers, keep on playing the numbers. But they don't always aggressively come at a girl and say, hey, do you want to fuck? They kind of just talk to them and they just chat. And then what happens is each night, now Tuesday, this girl wants to fuck. Thursday, this girl wants to fuck. Friday, this girl wants to fuck. Because you're just not being a creep and you're not going for it every time. So there's definitely different methods. But that recognizing that feeling, that's the most important thing. Because recognizing the feeling doesn't necessarily mean you're going to fuck that girl that night.
Right.
It just means that girl kind of wants to fuck you. She may not be a slut. She may have never fucked a guy on the first night she's met him in her entire life. And that may not happen. That's not in the cards, but it doesn't mean she's not going to fuck you. Like, where is the Australian girl on vacation?
Yeah, that was
she's not going to fuck you. It's over, but.
Yeah.
What I learned, too, is if a girl's into you, if they respond, it's like a little, even like a little respond to a text or something like that. That means she's into you. So don't think, oh, this girl's not into me. She's fucking into you. If she meets you somewhere, she's into you.
Girls, they will fucking, if they are into you, it is very subtle. But yeah, I can tell immediately if a fucking girl.
You can
is
tell. It's very, it's kind of easier now. When you realize shit.
It's it. I remember when I was 19, I went out with the hottest girl I've ever gone on a date with, this little smoking hot. She might have been Indian or something, but she was crazy hot. And I went out and she was just so much hotter than me. I was selling comedy club tickets at the time and I picked her up and I convinced her to go to a hockey game with me. And I was so nervous the whole time. I'm like a bumbling idiot. We go to a hockey game. She invites me back to her house to watch a movie. She puts on shorts.
You're in.
I'm so in.
You're in.
She puts on short shorts, crawls in front of the TV to put the movie on. Her fucking ass. I mean, dude, my dick is getting hard thinking about it right now. She was so hot, didn't make a move. I didn't do anything. I was a pussy. I was just, I was like, no, she's not into me. She just wants to be my friend. Dude, this girl wanted me to make her asshole bleed, okay? She was such a raging whore.
Every woman's dream.
Oh, my God, dude. And one of my biggest regrets to this day, I think I could have saved my father's life. I will take this girl over saving my father's life.
Oh, dude, there were so many times I fucking fucked up. I'm like, oh, a girl for my birthday bought me tickets to a Met game. I went to the game with her, didn't make a move because I was like, well, this girl's just my friend.
She wanted to fuck.
She wanted to fucking hook up with me. She might want to date me.
Nothing's worse though than going for like a chick that you're friends with and thinking you're in and getting rejected.
Well, that's why you don't become friends with chicks.
Yeah. Well,
that's it.
Absolutely.
I mean, not to be a dick. I mean, look, I'm friends with Adrienne Appalucci, but I'm friends with her in the sense that, like, yeah, when we hang out at comedy clubs, we're cool. We'll sit at the same table. It's like fucking school. I'm not going to go really hang out with Adrienne outside of comedy. She's one of my closest female friends, I think, in the world. I don't have female friends. You know what I'm saying?
We should get Dante on and talk about this. He's fucking good.
We've had Dante
shit
on the show. And we'll do another fucking I'll Get Your Balls Back episode with Dante because now I'm single. So,
I mean, are you really single?
Yeah, I mean, yes, I'm single. 100%.
Edit or no?
No, not edit. I'm single.
You hear that? Go Mites. Lose on the loose.
That's right. we'll see what happens. I'm always trying to fucking fix the relationship. I don't want to not be with my son's mother, but she hates me. Anyway, so we're going to wrap up here in a second. Guys, what do we got going on? Anything coming up? Scopes?
No.
Come on, Scopo.
I do fucking plenty of shows.
We got shows coming
this
up. We're doing March 21st.
Well, you're headlining. I'm not going to fucking step on you for that.
You're right. We'll follow Chris Scopo on Twitter, at Chris Scopo.
I got a bunch of shows. I do a lot of shows in the city. I don't just plug. I don't plug dates because I'm not, like, I'm opening for you. I'm not going to fucking plug that.
I get it. So go follow Chris Scopo on Twitter. Come and check him out if you're ever in New York City. Most of the shows that we do, honestly, we can get you free tickets for, whether it's Stand Up New York or some of these other clubs that we're at. If you ever see us in the lineups, just hit me up. If I can get you a free ticket, I will always try to get you a free ticket. You know, if I can't, I'll tell you I can't. Robbie Bernstein, are you joining Twitter now? What's the deal?
I'm going to get on there.
Can we sign up right after we get off this
Let's
podcast?
Let's do it.
We'll sign you up.
Yeah, get some GoMites following me.
Robbie the Fire, RobbieTheFire. As long as it's not taken. At Robbie the Fire on Twitter. Guys, if you want to come check me out live, I got a lot of shit coming up, man. March 21st, I'll be headlining in Washington, D.C. It's a hotel show, so go to GomezComedy.com, get the info on that. Also, March 27th, 28th, I'll be in Yakima, Washington, headlining the Laugh Lounge. And March 29th, Parlor Live. Sunday night, March 29th, Parlor Live in Seattle, Washington. Also going to be headlining in Connecticut in April. Me and Big J are doing some shows out at Foxwoods in May, so we got a lot of shit coming up. Follow me on Twitter. Check you next week. Realize Podcast. Peace.
That's all, folks.